all this time, Porter. Everything you've done, everything you've said, I've heard all about. So you've made some remarks in the past about when is Papa Fritz going to be here. Papa Fritz is here.
With Johnny and Kelly. Johnny, how you doing, man?
Great.
That's awesome. Kelly, my friend, what is going on?
I'm just talking wrestling. One of my favorite things in the world.
Yep. Yeah, we're talking world class. We're looking at the October 22nd, 1983 show. And we're also, for an added bonus, we have a Chris Adams, Jimmy Garvin match from Fort Worth Television. Right now, what we talked about last week, new world class is definitely shifting gears, heading in a different direction. We get more of that here this week. It's so fun watching these shows when they, it's the most exciting times, honestly, in any type of wrestling when they start a new angle off. Cause at that time you have that open, you know, clean slate. You don't know where they're going and they haven't bored you enough or they haven't, but you know, they haven't gone through enough of it yet. It's all fresh and new, and it's exciting. Are you feeling a buzz right now, Kelly, with World Class when they're shifting gears?
I mean, I'm more excited than I was about a month ago when things felt stale. And I know what's coming up. We got two big Star Wars shows coming up: the Thanksgiving one and a Christmas one.
Yep.
So yeah, the rest of the year should be pretty action packed. And there's a lot of stuff that, you know, I've seen, you know, a lot of matches from the Parade of Champions coming up in 84. I've seen stuff from the Star Wars shows we're going to be looking at. But there's so much that I've never seen before that I still don't know. I'm still watching it like a complete new viewer. And I'm surprised by a lot of things that turned up. I didn't know JYD was coming into the territory. He's coming into the territory. So it's great to still be surprised and not know what's coming up. And, yeah, it's good stuff.
That's the best way to watch episodic television, you know?
Yeah.
Johnny, feeling a little tingly?
Yeah, but it has nothing to do with wrestling.
Okay. All right.
I think it's my diabetes.
Fair enough, you old fart. All right. It's almost up with Michael P.S. Hayes versus Cowboy John Mantell.
He's not Cowboy
Kelly,
yet.
What are you thinking here?
He's sometimes Cowboy, sometimes not. Yeah, so here we go. Michael Hayes wearing tie-dyed trunks. Unusual.
I know. This is when I got a fucking hard on.
Unusual that would become usual.
Yeah. Okay. So this is the beginning of something.
Yeah. Something that he's become a staple for like ever.
Oh, really? Okay. Because I know before this.
Yeah, eventually he'd go just the long tights, but probably from here to for a while he was wearing these type of things.
Interesting. Okay. So Mercer. Yeah, we've picked on him quite a bit. There's some gems here. So he brings up a new tag team from the north called the Super D's, as in Dandy.
As in Dandy.
Does he know what they even look like? Or has he just been handed a name and he's just making things
up?
No,
this
there's nothing dandy about the Super D's when they come in.
Even with or without the mask. I mean, they're the Irwin brothers without the mask.
Well, no, I think we've established that Wild Bill Irwin should have been playing a British dandy a long time ago because he was good at that with his curly locks. But no, this is a callback from the previous show that I forgot to mention when... He talked about the Super D's coming in there, and it was at the same time they were doing the reveal of Buddy Roberts' bald head. And he's like, the Super D's. I guess you could call Buddy Roberts the Super B for Baldy. And sucked. So he's doing another one here. Maybe the D for Dandy. It's just him being terrible. It's like, yeah, that's how you... Here's a big fucking team coming in here. D for Dandy. Not even saying that people would even think they're dandies. People would go, what are you talking about? He's terrible.
Now here's a question for both. I'll point back, but we'll get back to the match, Kelly. Super D, or... I mean, obviously it's short for Super Destroyers.
Yes.
Yeah. What?
Would you think the Super Destroyers is a better name than the Super D?
Yes, exactly. Well, that was going to be
my next point is, why are they called the Super D's already?
Exactly.
Like, okay, I understand they're the Super Destroyers, but shouldn't Super D's come later after they've been around a while?
Yes,
it's weird. Should. Why did they already have this nickname before they've even debuted?
Yes.
It's strange.
And it's a nickname that doesn't make them seem as badass either.
Well, no, not at all. Or heels.
It's a nickname that makes them sound like badasses after they've earned a nickname. If it's like, like, the Super Destroyers, the Super Destroyers, like, yo, man, I'm down with the Super D's. You know, you evolve for that.
Yeah, or come up with something like, hey, they just beat this team in a minute and a half. We need a shorter name for them. We'll call Shorty them Super D's.
The Shorty G's. That'll work. That'll get over.
It's weird because they weren't the Super Destroyers anywhere else.
No.
Before this, right? Yeah.
Well, he worked. He worked the hood as a Super Destroyer.
I think you're right. In Crockett.
One of them did a program with Buyer in Japan.
Okay, but still, it's Super weird Destroyer. Weird that they have the nickname. They're introduced by their nickname.
This could literally be Bill Mercer fucking up, for all we know.
Well, I don't think they ever called them the Super Destroyers in World Class. They're always called the Super D.
They never were? Okay.
I don't think so.
That's strange. Anyway, in the time it took me to ponder all this.
maybe they did. I don't know. I don't know. We'll find out.
Yeah, we'll find out. But anyway, so yeah.
Talking points where I wouldn't. I've watched all this television, so I don't. But it's just one of those things I wouldn't. You know, it's like not a top 10 thing you would remember from the television. You know,
we'll get to the bottom of it. We're world cast. Yeah, this is what we'll do. But yeah, so I was pondering this, and the next thing I knew, Mantell was dropped on the top rope and pinned by Hayes very quickly, and Super Push 83.
Super Push 83 just ran into Michael Hayes' giant tie-dyed ass. Just fuck you, motherfucker.
Yeah, well, this finish just kind of ruined your whole entire talking.
We'll see how he rebounds from this loss. There's still hope.
Yeah, this wasn't a great match, but it was a fun match. I mean, I think Hayes doing the strut rules, so we got to see Hayes, you know, just in all his glory. I like Hayes's he had really nice shots to Mantell's kidney. I liked Hayes working over the midsection. Overall, there's a lot of fun stuff to do in this match, but it wasn't like a great match because it was so short. But I thought it was entertaining. What about you, John?
Okay. So Michael Hayes is the best. This is my favorite John Mantell match so far because Michael Hayes just fucking made him look like a punk. Because before the match, Hayes is jacking off. Jacking off. Jesus Christ. Whoa. Jawing. I'm jacking off, huh? I wish. He's yelling at the crowd. It's the tie-dye. I fell in love with it immediately. For those of you who don't know, I'm a deadhead. I saw him in his giant small pants, tie-dye, and I was like, that's the coolest thing I've seen in a long time. But he says to the crowd, the ladies in particular, he's like, you wish you had something like me to take home with you instead of what's hanging on your wrist right now, darling. He's also yelling at John Mantell. He's like, hey, boy. Well, tonight you're going back to school. You're going back to school. You should be thankful for the lesson I'm going to teach you when I whip you. Well, I'm going to whip you so hard. You know what? I wish you were related to a Von Erich. I really do, because that's how bad I want to take you to school. He said that, and it was fucking great. And And then the one Bill thing, he keeps saying Monte County over and over again. At one point, he goes to say Mantell. He calls him Monte and has to correct himself. I was like, stop with the Monte. So after he fucking just hangmans him on the fucking rope and beats him 1, 2, 3, Michael Hayes strutting out of the ring going, "What'd I tell you? Told you. What'd I tell you?" Took him to school. And I was like, "Ah, this is great. I loved it."
Then we get a recap of David Von Erich and Kamala feud. And this is really smart, since in case you missed last week, it tells us exactly what happened. John, do you want to talk about it? Or just, anything you want to add?
Just that he said again the same call he made the last show that I forgot to mention. Bill Mercer, when he's describing the attack, he says, "It's ludicrous." There's nothing ludicrous. The only thing ludicrous is the booking. Maybe he was like, "Why would you do this to Kamala? This is ludicrous." But he keeps saying it's ludicrous.
Maybe he was shooting for the marks.
Maybe. You know, otherwise, it's the wrong choice of words for an evil attack from behind. Is not ludicrous. Unless he goes, "This is ludicrous. David's just gonna fucking squeeze his head." And that's it.
Kelly, anything you want to add?
No.
Yeah, I think so. Iceman video.
Yeah,
Johnny, does it work for you?
It without did.
That right music.
Here's the thing. This is this is dubbed. This isn't just dubbed. This is obviously dubbed because the volume level on it was a little too high.
Yeah.
But as far as dubs go, I liked it a lot because they can't use We Are Family. They're doing the Iceman King Parsons music video. They can't use Sister Sledge. So they got this funky, repetitive track music that's got a female singer like going, "Ooh, yeah, yeah." It doesn't quite fit the edits as much at first. But then eventually that doesn't matter. And I was sitting out on the deck watching it, and all I know is my shoulders started shrugging, and I was moving. I was dancing to it. I'm not fucking shitting you. I'm sitting there. I was getting down because number one, I'm watching. It's an Iceman video. It's showing him doing all. It's showing the evolution of his career there almost, and he's doing everything. They show the balding. They showed him drop kicking. They show him doing everything. It's fucking great. And the music, you know, as far as dubs go, pretty fucking good. And then it ends with Iceman with a bunch of young kids, young African-American kids. And he said, "I'm the Iceman King Parsons. I'm going to be the first black NWA champion of the world. Woo, have mercy." And I was like, this was great. Loved it. The dub did not hurt this whatsoever. And this is going right into your main event. I thought this was great.
Yeah, I thought whenever they do an Iceman video, they make him like the most grooviest person in the world.
He's the best.
He's like Shaft for wrestling. He's like, yeah, he's, you know, he's awesome. What about you? I mean, as a kid, I was an Adams was my favorite, but Iceman was a close second for me.
Well, I can see if you were a kid and you were watching it and you were watching that too, that We Are Family, and you were a kid watching that, how couldn't you fall in love with that guy?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I never related to the Von Erichs as a kid. I mean, I loved Kerry, don't get me wrong. I loved him, but
they're not relatable.
I never understood him. I was never raised up on a ranch. I never hunted. I never rode a horse. So I just never related that aspect to the Von Erichs. But like Iceman, for me, I grew up in St. Louis, so I was excited because Iceman was from St. Louis.
Yep. And Pete also delivered ice, you know, when he as a child. On the streets.
So they shared that too. I can't believe you're selling that joke, Kelly. That thing was horrible.
No. Some kids had a fucking paper route.
Okay.
Some kids had a paper route. Pete delivered ice. It's St. Louis.
Now, it's even getting worse.
Ice box, Pete. I mean,
it's so bad, you gotta laugh at it.
Yeah, right? I know.
Jeez. No one.
He still has the tongs.
You never lose the tongs.
What'd you make of the video, Kelly?
Well, I skipped over it by accident because I was skipping I was skipping over the Kamala David recap, and you, this was included.
Hold on. You didn't skip over this by accident. You're like, they didn't give Sunshine a fucking music video, but they gave fucking Iceman one. He's fuck standing, you.
Yeah, he's on.
That's right.
Thumbs down duty here.
Yeah, I don't know why I lied about that. Well, obviously, I've given up on the dubbed videos. Fuck them.
You thought they were jerking your chain again because they didn't do Sunshine. There's no way they did an Iceman. That leads us to Jimmy Garvin versus the returning Art Cruz.
Returning.
Kelly, what you think?
Art Cruz. Cruz spelled K-R-U-Z.
Okay.
All wrong. Yeah.
Okay. I literally had to stop and second myself and go, wait, is there? Did they hire two? Is there a Mexican Art Cruz and a white Art Cruz here at the same time?
Well, lucky they didn't spell this name the first way like this on the other show, or Kelly never would have gotten any information.
I know. He would have been searching for this lost luchador named Art Cruz.
he would have got the. He must be a total jobber because he doesn't have his feet on wrestling.
Pure jobber. Yeah. No, but see, I remembered his name from the Megs 30 years ago, and I remembered it was C-R-E-W-S.
Taylor Art Cruz.
Yeah, C-R-E-W-S.
Is that his name?
Sailor Art Thomas.
No, there was also Sailor Art Cruz was his nickname.
Oh, Jesus, really?
Did he wrestle on the Love Boat?
One note from
he was originally Vicky's love interest when they killed the pilot.
Nice. Yeah.
Okay. One note I missed from last week during his bio is, guess how old Mr. Cruz is here in
1983?
46. 36. No, he was only 24.
No fucking way.
Yeah. He's got gray hair. I mean, that's not unusual for some people. They go gray early. But still, I was floored when I saw his birthday.
No, I just started going gray recently. That's a thing in my family.
Okay, you've been bald in 1985.
Well, no, I can tell by my when I don't shave for a little while. I look and I'm like, oh boy, if I was allowed to have a beard at my where I work right now, I'd have a salt and pepper beard. But that's just recent. No, I just went bald. I didn't go gray early. I went bald early.
So Cruz, yes, prematurely old here. Also with a decent amount of back knee, unfortunately. That's quite noticeable. Anyway, so Adams comes out again. This is Garvin versus Cruz. Adams comes out to challenge Garvin and calls him a coward. So we're building that with each week. And Cruz actually got some offense in here. An arm bar. Jimmy was being generous. Misses a dropkick, and then Garvin hits a DDT, as we would call it.
Uh-huh.
But Mr. Bill Mercer, of course, calls it a head stomper.
A head stomper.
Yeah, it doesn't have quite the ring to it.
A head stomper.
There was another move.
He came up with a head stomper.
And he had to pause because he had no idea what to call it because it wasn't a popular move at the time. And, okay, look, you could go, there's a million ways you could get around it. You could say, he just drove his head right into the mat, if you don't know it. He's got to come up with a name. And it's head stomper, which makes no sense.
No. Yeah, exactly. It doesn't describe it at all. Post-match, Garvin claims Adams is a phony Englishman.
A phony Englishman.
From Biloxi, Mississippi.
I love that.
I laughed out loud.
I did too. It was great.
I love it. That's where you can, this is where you can throw comedy in wrestling and you can laugh right here, okay? It's a funny segment. I hate when they force it. And here it would just so work. Again, I'm loving the evolution of this angle. It originally started where Garvin was going to defend his title on TV every week, right?
Yep.
Then he gets this draw with Adams, and then we get Sunshine and Precious getting involved, and now Adams is challenging him because now Garvin doesn't want to wrestle on TV and has been ducking Adams. I'm I'm loving it. It just it feels really organic on how they're doing it. It doesn't feel it feels really built up well, you know.
Yep, totally taking their time, and we haven't even got to. Well, we're going to talk about one of their bigger matches later, but there's still lots in the tank for this feud.
Yeah. Johnny, what do you make of the Garvin interview and stuff?
Okay, so during the match, you got Bill. He talks because he loves Jimmy Garvin. You know who loves Jimmy Garvin? The chicks in the crowd and Bill Mercer. Because Bill Mercer calls him the ever-pretty, gorgeous Jim Garvin. And not like, you're a pretty sissy. He's like, oh, he's a pretty, pretty man. Okay. And then he comes up with what we're going to call Sunshine's assistant. So, well, we don't really know her name. They never said anything. We're not allowed to ask. So I guess we're just going to have to call her Sunshine 2. And I thought, Kelly, I was like, Kelly's like, two sunshines? And then he's like, fuck you. There's only one sunshine. Sunshine 2. That's the most wrestling name, though. Just two. That's what you
are.
Yeah,
exactly.
Or the new Sunshine, yeah.
Yeah. And Adams, when Adams comes in to make his challenge again, he is in some sweet 80s gear. He has street clothes. He definitely shopped at the merry-go-round at the Dallas Mall, because I know that look. And there was a girl, speaking of clothes, there was a girl in the crowd, like I said, girls love him, wearing a sweatshirt that she had made herself that said, I love gorgeous Jimmy Garvin. And she was like, woohoo! Because some of the female audience, you hear them, they like Jimmy Garvin because they think he's sexy, and they like Michael Hayes, and some of them even like Terry Gordy, you know? So, but here's the nonsense coming out of Jimmy Garvin's mouth. Who? Who are you? Chris who? Chris who? He's a phony Englishman. He's a phony Englishman from Biloxi, Mississippi. Yeah, phony Englishman. I don't even know your name, Chris Adams. Chris Adams? You're Chris Adams? I don't even know your name, Chris Adams. I'm like, this could be a Trump speech. It makes no fucking sense. It's phony. It's a phony Englishman. You're phony. I don't know your name, Chris Adams. You know, but doesn't fucking matter. It fucking gets heat, so. I love Jimmy Garvin.
And that really leads us to the main event of this show. Iceman King Parsons challenging for the 10 pounds of gold held by Harley Race here. NWA title shot. What do you think of this, Kelly?
It's a huge match for the Sportatorium. I think we've only seen one other NWA title match in the Sportatorium. Flair and Gordy from February, I want to say.
If you say
that.
I think that's the only one. Like, we've seen the title defenses on the reunion shows, the Star Wars shows, but in the actual Sportatorium.
Kevin and Flair at reunion.
In reunion, but not in the Sportatorium.
Kevin and Harley at the reunion, yeah. And then we saw Flair and Kevin at that, what you call it, show. It wasn't at the Sportatorium, though. It was at
Was that the State Fair show? Yeah, you're right. Yeah, so it's pretty rare that they bring the big bill for a title defense to the Sportatorium. Pretty cool. David is in Iceman's corner, which...
Of course he is.
Unfortunately is a harbinger for bad things always.
It's always bad. Always. Ask Kevin.
Yeah. And... David's wearing a Kerry Von Erich t-shirt, though.
I know. Imagine, he's like, hey, Daddy, don't I get a t-shirt? Not yet. You know, you go out there and buy your brother's t-shirt, asshole.
Hit the gym before you think you need a shirt. You need a shirt to cover up the non-muscle, son. Hey, you have some strings hanging from your shirt. Nope, them your arms.
Oh, God. It's unfortunately maybe too close to what actually was said. So anyway, Iceman gets a really good shine to start. Race is always great at making his opponent look awesome, of course. We all know that. Race delivers his patented headbutt to Iceman, but of course it hurts Race more than it does the Iceman.
And we will see this escalate into craziness throughout this match. Yeah.
Harley takes control and does the usual Harley bombs. And Iceman regains control with a sleeper. He headbutts Harley outside the ring. And let's see, Harley barely makes it back in for the 20 count. And then we get another sleeper, another headbutt. Race regains control with a brainbuster on the outside. Got really good back and forth struggle here. Crowd's really hot. Several near falls by the Iceman. And then we get to the end. Controversial finish, of course. You're not going to get a clean ending here. David just can't help himself. Race gets in his face, and then David has to strike him. But this was actually booked well as far as the way they used the two referees who saw two different things. And I actually like this as a finish to get out of a title switch or get out of a clean finish situation.
Oh, totally agree.
Yeah, so Manning missed David hitting Race, but Bronco's on the outside. They had two refs, big match. Bronco on the outside saw it, so he DQs Iceman, and Iceman, though, did give the butt-butt to Harley after the strike from David, and Manning counts for the three for the pin, and you know what we think may be a title change. Of course, the crowd pops for it, but no, we have two different viewpoints, and Bronco overrules David. It's a DQ finish because of David striking Race. So, yeah, I thought that was really well done, actually. I didn't, you know, often the screw job finishes are done in a way that is pretty unsatisfying, but this was not one of them. David's kind of the subtle heel here.
I've been saying it since he fucked over his own brother. He fucked over his own brother. You think he's not going to fuck over Iceman?
Yeah, so he's been fucking over, yeah, exactly, his brother, now the Iceman from the outside. Just don't have David in your corner for an NWA title match.
Especially against Harley Race, because it's always against Race that he loses.
Yeah, Race, it's true. Race always gets to David. So it's long-term storytelling too. But very good match, ridiculously hot crowd. I went a shade under 4 stars. I went 3.75. It just didn't hit the 4-star level for me, but I thought it was really, really good.
Yeah, I'm with you. I went 3.5. And you know, this is like the difference. Like, let's compare this like to the Bob match. And it works. Race's formula, where he's trying to make the local look like $1 million, works so much better when they're not working holds, where all you're getting is like big moves and slams and punches, and Race is just able just to fling and bump and stooge for him. When you're in the working holds, it just it seems like you're dominating the match so much. Here, right. I still took like 90% of the match, but it didn't seem as so blatant when. As opposed to seeing Bob clamping on a headlock or a arm bar for you know, working an arm or a headlock for 30 out of the 40 minutes of their match or what have you. So the formula worked better. And the crowd – and plus they had so – and that was the other thing with Bob. They were not – here, man, they had so many great near falls, and the crowd is biting on every single one where Iceman almost pulls off the win. The crowd was eating up every falsie. It was just tremendous in that way. I liked Race early on. He's having a problem with Manning and David Von Erich being there. and this is just Harley making Parsons as a challenger. Race bumps big early and shines Ice up. Great near fall on that cross body. And the crowd 100% built on that falsie and it's hot for this match. I love the headbutt trope. I don't care. Yeah, it's racist, but you know what? It's 1980s wrestling, and there's going to be racial overtones throughout it. yes, it's wrong, but that doesn't mean I can't enjoy it for what it is in a snapshot.
We'll get to it. It's crazy. Race does
a great job of keeping David Von Erich involved in the match, because that's where they think the money is for Race versus David. Ice has an answer for all of Race's offense. Harley with the brain buster on the floor. And we get so many near falls for Iceman. Good screw job finish. And I thought the timing was really well done. And the way you explained it really well, I don't need to really go into it much more on that finish, but I thought it looked beautifully. And the butt looked devastating because Harley took it so well. I enjoyed this match tremendously. Okay, John, why don't you go into it? But
I loved this match. So first of all, I need to ask, even though I've watched it, was this on the DVD-VR Texas set?
Yes.
Okay. So this is the second time I've watched this, but I didn't remember it. And great, because I enjoyed this immensely. I mean, I was a little like, okay, how do they do this finish?
And then except on the Death Valley Driver said we actually got the Iceman theme song when he's coming to the ring, which made it even better.
Okay, then.
He's teasing me.
Well, you know what? I have it sitting somewhere in a stack of DVDs over here, Kelly. If I ever find it, I'll forget to ever send it to you. So,
along with the Batista Brainbuster.
You know what? I tried to send that Batista thing.
Still lost in the mail?
No. I went to the post office and I'm just like, okay, I want to send this to Canada. And then it came a big fucking hullabaloo about how to get it done. And I was like, I don't have time for this. And it was in my work truck for years.
And then you canceled Brainbusters early on.
No, that was early on. Anyhow, so Race yelling about David being there. It was so great hearing the hard cameras, those world-class hard cameras, picking up Harley Race, talking and being that part of his character. Get him out of here. Get him out of here. I hated, I know it's a world-class thing, but this is a world title match. And Iceman's in the corner signing fucking autographs for snot-nosed kids. I was like, what the fuck are you doing? No. This is a title match. That you shouldn't do that there. Mm-hmm. It's my one problem with this. I was like, what the fuck you? And he's yelling. I guess something happened with David Manning. Accidentally hit him sometime or another. Who the fuck knows? He's like, Manning, I don't want you. You deliberately hit me. He's going to beat you. So I'm like, this was like the echoes of old David Manning being involved in storylines bullshit coming up that Harley was bringing into this so he could just bitch. There's like, oh, those that smells like Manning bullshit from the past, because we haven't had any of that in quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
And now it starts off Iceman, apparently, it didn't look like it to me, but it's what Bill said, and it's fine. You know, he got his hands on the belt and was going to hold it up to the crowd or kiss it. And Harley Race was not having that. Harley Racist. That actually was a character in some California fucking dirt indie. You know, not accusing Harley.
Really?
Yeah. Some of those incredibly strange, weird wrestling that would go on, like those skateboard tours and shit that had weird, offensive characters. There was a guy named Harley Racist. But anyway, Harley is not having Iceman kiss his goddamn belt and attacks him from behind and to get things going, which is a great way to start. And he's all pissed off. Now, Harley Race doing his falling headbutt onto Iceman and it doesn't work. To me, I'm like, oh, that's not racist. To me, that's not. I'm like, no, it's well established. And Harley Race is supposed to have a hard head. Iceman has a hard head. His is harder. As a battle of hard heads, no problem. It's where it goes from there that gets amazingly crazy. Harley's telling Manning to shut up constantly every time he's telling him not to do something. I love it. Bill is calling a two count. He goes, one, two, three, kick out. He called a kick out a three. He paused to say that. Now, Iceman then they're battling on the outside. And Iceman gets posted into the metal post with his hard head. Surely, that hurts. Nah, he just kind of shakes that off. He just kind of shakes that off too. I'm like, is he shaking off being posted? Jesus Christ. Okay. And everyone is going, go, Ice, go. Go, Ice, go. And the crowd is so hot for Ice. You know, they're just calling him Ice, not an Iceman. Just go, Ice, go. Now, every time they do the 20 count, The crowd, they're hot, but they're counting along, and it is annoying to hear a crowd go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 all the way to 20. The way to 20. I was like, no, just pace it. Pacing. So David gets involved, calls fucking Iceman. At some point, Harley hits a brainbuster on the Iceman onto the concrete. And I went, take that, hard, stereotypical Negro head. That's surely the end of this. Surely. Nope. Iceman just sort of shakes that one off, too. Holy shit. Harley, speaking of the concrete, he takes a thud to the concrete. He takes a fucking bump to the concrete right on his side that you just heard. I heard it echo in my earbuds. Just flap onto the concrete. I was like, oh, God, that hurt. Oh. And Mercer keeps pointing out, you mentioned all those near falls. He's like, that's the eighth time. It's the eighth time. It's the eighth one. On that, fine. And he goes, to bring up old knowledge, he goes, Bronco Lubitsch has seen the title change 3 times. David Manning had just seen Iceman almost win it 8 times. What the fuck? What? No.
That's equal.
It's not the same thing, dum-dum. And during all of this confusion, I was so into this match that I hated the finish. It's like, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, because I was involved in it. You know, looking back at it, I'm like, no, it was well done. If you got to fucking figure out a screw job, that's a fucking really well-timed, perfect, good way to, down to the fact that the butt happened right after David hit him. It was all timed well. But again, I was like, fuck you, David. You're an asshole. You know, go fuck yourself. And then as Bill Mercer is trying to talk about who was in the wrong and who was in the right, he goes, it doesn't really matter because the point is mute. No, I'd like to mute. I want to mute you is what I want to do. But else, if I muted you, I'd have nothing to talk about on this show. And if you pause this at 41:55, Iceman King Parsons is looking up at David Von Erich with a look like, fucking honky, what the fuck is wrong with you? Just pissed. 41:55. He's not like, it's okay, brother, you know, like, or like, it was my only chance, like Kevin. He's just like, motherfucker, what the fuck? And then they're announcing next week, they go, it'll be Kevin Von Erich versus Terry Gordy. Yet another battle of between the Von Erichs and the Freebirds. I'm like, you're not lying. However, have we seen Terry, a lot of Terry versus Kevin?
Yes. Singles? I don't know.
I can tell you, dude. Maybe it's just me. I'm having flashbacks to the Texas set.
Okay. You have.
We had 10 to Kevin. I think it was 10 of them we had nominated.
Oof. Okay.
And then we had to go through and like whittle it down to for the Texas set because there were so many of them.
Because I'm kind of looking forward to watching them two wrestle, but again, just the announcing of it with Bill Mercer even kind of did it like, yep, then another one. Trust us, it's all going to change in a month.
We haven't seen it in a while because it was actually at the beginning of the TVs is where we were getting a lot of Kevin and Terry Gordy.
That's right.
At least 4 singles matches early on.
Wow.
Because I remember one of my times I made the mistake of thought when we were watching a different Kevin Gordy match and I watched the wrong one, remember?
Yeah, that's right. I forgot.
Okay.
So we move over here to the Texas, to the Fort Worth television. We have Jimmy Garvin and versus Chris Adams. And this is for the TV title, which is the Beat the TV Champ, where you go and defend it for 10 weeks in a row. So this is really interesting, and so it's drawn by random. So it makes sense in a way where they're not automatically giving us this match, and it's not Garvin stepping up to the plate. It was because it had to happen because it's part of the Beat the Champ thing, which I found really fascinating. Adams is the champ, and Garvin is the challenger here. So, Kelly, why don't you go away and talk about it?
Yeah, so this is October 24th. And Fort Worth, yeah. So the TV title, it's exclusive to Fort Worth, so we'd never see it on the World Class show, the Sportatorium show. Adams is the champ. He's actually had 14 straight defenses.
And let me interrupt you real quick. How cool is that to have something uniquely special for that television show?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's
I think it's a smart thing to make it stand out as opposed to just another world-class TV show. I've always liked those little touches when promotions did something like that.
Yep. Make it different. So 14 straight defenses for Adams. That's I think they say it's a record or it's something like that.
I don't know.
Garvin's American title isn't at stake, of course.
They do mention that there's a money thing involved as well. Like,
yes.
Money increases. I remember hearing that more so than how many weeks he's won it.
Yeah, 14 straight weeks, and the money goes up every week, too, to where at the end they announce that Garvin's won $4,500 as well, I believe. Something like that.
Champ.
Yeah.
Well, so he's won the money, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I don't know. That's maybe a little bit too much.
Yeah, I didn't understand it. I just remember it.
Yeah, that's why I didn't even bring it up, because I didn't want to have to try and explain it, because I didn't understand.
Maybe we watched it. Maybe if they had this TV on the world on WWE Network, we'd understand the premise.
Then you mentioned it. The premise of it, when Lorenzo says, he's like, well, here's how this works. We just pick a challenger out of a hat. I was like, that's how a title out of a hat? Okay.
That's how they did it on Smoky Mountain Wrestling TV.
Oh, really? Okay. I've never heard of that before.
Random drawing, yeah. Except for them, I think for Smoky Mountain TV, it was either 10 in a row or it was 3 in a row. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Well, it is funny because when you watch Tully defend it, the TV title on Crockett, they never explained if there was a ranking or not a ranking. It was always like, who was it this week? Oh, Buzz Sawyer.
And also the difference was Tully, it was actual title belt. There's no title belt for here.
That's true. Mm. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, a lot of territories had the same variation on this.
Yes.
Going back to God knows how long. LA had probably the most well-known one, the Beat the Champ one. Yeah. Maybe that was the original. The Von Erichs aren't part of the pool of names. And Lawrence explains this. Yeah, goes on for quite a while because we have like rest holds right at the beginning.
It's the biggest blowjob to the Von Erichs. I mean, for a pastor who probably doesn't like approve of those sorts of things, he sucks their dick. Here, so but he says the reason why the Von Erichs aren't in the hat is because, well, you know, the Von Erichs have a lot of international commitments they have to do. And, you know, they're very altruistic, you know, so they figure it wouldn't be fair to put their names in the hat. And then he goes, in a way, it's really a compliment to the Von Erichs that they would do something that I'm like, oh, fuck you, what?
Yeah, which is code for they're the biggest stars of the company, and
exactly.
This is blood beneath them, yeah.
Holy shit.
I think there was some shoot to it, though, that, they probably were, you know, out of the territory quite a bit of the time, too. But, awesome.
They were all in there a lot, too. I mean, they were,
it is.
Carey especially was all
in. They didn't want to, they weren't going to put them on there for just a random, because they were the top guys,
right.
They weren't going to put them in the TV thing because then they'd get have to get beat eventually, or they'd have to win it all the time. So it was a no win situation if you put them in that.
But the fact that he was directed or chose to say that the reason they're not in it explains it, and he goes, it's really complimentary of them for not to be. I'm like, oh, come on.
I personally would have just ignored that and not even mentioned it. Yeah.
Don't mention it. Just don't mention it. Here's the thing. Even the fans back then are not going to go, well, why the fuck are the Von Erichs not in the TV title? Because fans back then who even thought it was real would go, Von Erichs shouldn't be in the, they should be going for the top titles.
They're happy that they're on their television. They don't need them to go for the TV belt. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'll get to the match. Enough gaga here. Adams dominated early. A lot of his scientific skills on display, I guess. And then Garvin works a headlock, or it's kind of a sleeper, too. For a while, Adams gets hope spots. King of the Mountain by Garvin on Adams. Adams has a big comeback, big super kick, great fire. The crowd's on fire. And second match in a row where we have a well-booked finish with some moving parts that to put it all together. And also this is the beginning of the of dissension between Sunshine and Jimmy Garvin. So we have both valets on the outside, and this was really done well. Sunshine accidentally smacks Garvin. Garvin's holding Adams up, and Adams ducks. Garvin gets hit. But the new valet, who still hasn't been named, other than the assistant, trips Adams. And so she comes in and picks up the fumble that Sunshine dropped, basically, and helps Garvin win, trips Adams. Garvin pins Adams, holding the trunks. So we have a new champ. I thought the seeds were planted perfectly for the eventual babyface turn of Sunshine here. And, yeah, this ends 14-week reign for Adams. And one note I want to make, and just to show you that Super Push 83 isn't dead, the very next week, John Mantell defeats Jimmy Garvin for the TV title on Halloween night.
On Halloween night, that's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'll be a perfect TV champion type guy.
What was Johnny?
Yeah, and it makes sense.
What was Mantell's costume? A confident, fucking charismatic wrestler?
Al Madrill.
Yeah, he went as Al Madrill.
Oh, man. If you guys think Al Madrill is super charismatic, we're in trouble.
No. I'm saying, in comparison to John Mantell. Which is funny, because I went on a deep dive about this Monte County. Apparently, it's spelled with a G, H at the end. It's like Montal County, and he's in Monte, whatever. And I was looking, trying to see, what's the deal with this? Yes, it's far out there. They call it Monte County. And then a link went to Cowboy John Mantell. I was hoping to look it up and say, most famous residents, you know, John Mantell, Ken Mantell. apparently, no, that's only for towns. But then I found a picture of Cowboy John Mantell when he was fully in the cowboy gimmick. It must have been in the 80s. He's got a beard and long hair and a fucking bull rope around, you know, his shoulders and all the shit. And I have to remember, like, oh, that looks good. He looks...
Must have been the 80s. Must have been the 70s, brother.
Oh, I don't know. He wore a hood. In
83, yeah. But, I mean, I can't imagine him pushing the cowboy gimmick any more past 83.
Look, I don't know. Everyone can look into it. This picture looked like it was, like, from an aftermag. And I was like, oh, that looks... Anyway. So they said they picked the challenger of a hat, which I thought was weird, but whatever. Then Mark Lawrence decides to talk about, if you see the wrestlers talking to each other, what it actually means with all these close-ups. And he goes, it's like Frank Gifford said, you know, on Monday Night Football the other night. If you put a mic in the offensive line, you'd hear all kinds of horrible things. I guess maybe something got by, who knows. Because when you see wrestlers saying things in the ring to each other, they aren't saying, hello, how are you? There's all kinds of remarks about their ancestry. Their ancestry. That's a very nice way. That's a very nice way to say he's calling the Iceman the N-word. That's okay. Yeah. Their ancestry. Or what I'm going to do to you. Or how do you like that, you no good so-and-so? He almost broke. Fuck you, Fritz. Fuck you. Sunshine hits. Fuck you. He walks out with both women around his arms as equals, which is neat. Just compared to, the previous thing. But my mind keeps going. So, okay, he could yell at Sunshine and be like, hey, she's doing a better job than you are. And you were the one bossing her around like a bitch. I mean, you'd almost hope Sunshine would be like, I shouldn't have done that, but now, it's just good. That little part just is odd to me. Everything else is working great, and I thought this match was a lot of fun. Like I said, we are full in on this now, and we're going to get more and more of the angle parts and the promos with the two of them. Can't wait.
Yeah, I'm with you. I thought the match was okay, but it didn't need to be great. I can understand sometimes, like, you know, you have this really hot match with this, like, really hot angle afterwards. And this is a hot angle, but it's not like a hot, like, blood feud angle. This is a thinking man's angle, and you made you think in a way.
Made Kelly think.
Where you didn't want to have the match overshadow the finish, because the most important thing coming out of that match was that finish.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted what we wanted to come out of that was that it was Precious who's the one who actually cheated, cleaned up Sunshine's mess. Ooh. And it was Precious who came through for Jimmy Garvin.
Well, that's what she was hired to do, to clean up after Sunshine.
And that's where it's going to go forward, and that's going to be the cause of separation, eventually leading to what we'll do in the vignettes and stuff that we'll talk about in the next few weeks. So you didn't want the match to overtake the angle, and they did it. Mm-hmm. So I thought they worked the match they needed to work to get this angle over. And the most important, again, I can't stress it enough, the most important part of this was the angle. Sometimes I've seen matches that are so incredible, but you kind of forget about how the importance, which was the what the money, where the money is, and that was in the finish. And so they did it here perfectly, where they didn't overshadow the finish by having this great match, which we know they're capable of doing. They had a pretty much a rudimentary working holds type of match, but got the finish over. And I can't applaud these guys enough about that, sacrificing an ego in a way to not have the killer match that they won't know that they're capable of doing to get the feud and angles over. So kudos there. Again, I thought they had a really good television show this week. Great main event with Iceman and Reigns. Again, we're building forward, laying more groundwork for stuff going forward. Even in this match, even in the Adams Garvin match, they mentioned that Hayes and Kerry have been signed to a loser leave cage match, town cage match, on Thanksgiving night. So
they had to clarify that it meant you're not allowed to wrestle in Texas, because clearly Kerry Von Erich lives here. He's not going to really leave town. That was funny.
Which is another nice touch. I really liked what they were doing here. Kelly, what about you? Where do you lay on the show?
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, the title match, NWA title match, really, really good. Iceman's back in the thick of things, too, as a top face. Adams has been built up so well. And the big shows are coming up. Yeah, I'm looking forward to each coming week for sure.
Johnny, how are you having to think about the overall booking in the show in general?
I think the Dallas Police Department was probably wishing it was actually a loser leaves town match and that Kerry would lose. As far as everything I know.
Get one of those damn junkies out of town.
Guys, come on. We need to save this kid. Just get him out of here. He's a fragile flower who likes to just do a lot of coke and write poetry. No, this has been fun. There's two shows in a row that I just really thought were... Dude, I love that Iceman Harley match. It was so great. That was my favorite wrestling match I've seen in weeks.
And it really shows you how much you can get accomplished in an hour. You know, you can get a lot accomplished in an hour on a wrestling show. Johnny, anything you want to plug?
Yes. One last thing. On HBO, if you have, you just wrapped up the first season. It's like 9 episodes. If you haven't watched The Righteous Gemstones, you need to watch The Righteous Gemstones. It's fucking hilarious. It's wonderful. It's a new.
It was good. I enjoyed it. Good stuff.
I loved it. And the soundtrack is available now too. The soundtrack is unbelievable. It's great. It's my favorite thing I've seen. Comedy is my favorite comedy I've seen in quite some time.
Kelly, anything you want to plug?
A few things, actually. As always, check out all the great shows on the Pro Wrestling Only podcast network. Other than ourselves, we have Days of Thunder. That's about WCW Thunder. We have Greetings from Allentown. Great stuff, as always, from Peter Winson. We have now Boom Goes the Dynamite. So we're on the AEW bandwagon right from week one. That show drops actually the night after every show, so... get your review of Dynamite really quick on our feed.
Hey, and yeah, I wish those guys good luck doing weekly wrap-up shows.
Yeah, that's a tough one to maintain.
It's a tough one. It's a tough one.
Yeah,
I've done it.
Yeah, especially when you think about it, finishes in the middle of the week on a Wednesday at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night. Yeah.
Yeah, but no, Jeffrey and Chris—they've been 3 for 3 so far with that show getting out right after, or a couple hours later, or whatever after the show's over. So good stuff. And yeah, and next week we'll be doing hopefully a special show, and we've been planning this one for a month or so. And if all the recording schedules line up, we'll be doing a tribute to the Destroyer, who passed away earlier this year, with special guest Daniel McCabe.
Oh.
So, yes, we have an actual pro wrestler on the show. That's rare for us. We've had a few interviews in the Titans days.
He joins the ranks of, even though I wasn't involved in a few of them, the ranks of Tito Santana.
Yeah,
and
Ivan Koloff
and Kevin Sullivan, and then Bruce Tharp,
Cal Rudman,
and now Daniel. So that's quite a group.
Hey, and follow me on Twitter.
Wrestler, really? He's a local guy for me. Lives in New West, BC, so not far from where I am. NBC, so yeah, it should be fun.
He has a ton of buzz around him. I mean, he's a mat wrestler, just fantastic. I've seen him live. I saw him Mania Week live, having a absolute classic with Freddie Yehi, and then making the greatest facial expression in a dodgeball game wrestling match. That's wrestling nowadays. An SEI weekend, an incredible week. I saw him live there too. Fantastic worker. Just great, great. You know, overall great guy. So follow me on wrestling on Twitter.
And he's a huge Destroyer fan. Sorry, that's why he's on the show. He's a huge fan of the Destroyer. So I thought it would all tie in nicely. And yeah. We record these shows two at a time. So I'm not sure if it'll actually be a week after this one drops or not. But it'll be soon. It'll be mid-November that we do this show.
And apparently Daniel is a fan of another podcast that existed for five glorious episodes and 4 mediocre ones, Brainbuster. So
yes, he's familiar with Brainbuster. He himself he was on Joe Gagne's 5-star match game, which was of course inspired by Johnny's Brainbuster.
Joe literally did the whole. It was like except I didn't turn on him or whatever. But it was literally the orange spot that he's like, I want to do this. I want your permission first. I was like, you didn't need to do that, but thanks.
Yeah, so that's not on our feed, but check it out. I have it on Spotify. That's where I listen to it on Spotify. It drops every 4 months or so.
You know, and Daniel, guess what? The Place to Be Nation, another thing that place that used to be associated with us. You know what's coming up pretty soon? A wrestling game show podcast.
Yeah.
Just saying.
So the influence of Brainbuster was far-reaching.
I'm like Buddy Rogers, the original boy.
Not even the season yet. It sprung up a lot of influential stuff. Yep. On that note, have a great week, and we'll see you later.
My heartaches and troubles are just up and gone. The moment that you come in view, and with your hand in mine, dear, I could dance on and on, and I could waltz across Texas with you. Across Texas with you in my arms, waltz across Texas with you, like a storybook ending, I'm lost in your charms, and I could waltz across Texas with you.